We are in Brickell. We have David Tillum in the house.
David Jason Tillum, the real DJT.
Number one bachelor of Lakewood.
Well, I don't know if I would like that on the street.
Bachelor just means you're single. Right.
The guy in show that has senses coming out of his zipper that's 41. Guy's not a bachelor.
You're making a joke, but last week my tits were out of my zipper. Label as a knowledge in the most interesting areas out there.
I literally thought I was sitting with Donald Trump by Wall Street Grill. I've never seen so many people come over to a table. Hey, Label, can I take a picture with you? Oh my God, I love your podcast.
People were literally dressing up as mislabeled on Perm.
The second this pod's over, cameras pushed aside, bam, Warren's out. Dude, I just did a podcast, out.
People don't need rehab. You gotta come to Brickell. You hit the cold plunge, you hit some hot yoga. I promise you, the outcome will be 10 times better than rehab.
I have had a cold plunge every single day since. I'm not joking, I feel like Muhammad Ali.
There is no shidduch crisis out of Miami Beach, guaranteed.
The fact that we're in 2024 and there's no way for me to walk into the airport and walk right the fuck through it. Dude, my name is Label Wiener, I'm not a fucking terrorist. What do I need to do in order to just like get that point across?
We are blacklisted in a lot of different areas. The one area we didn't hit yet is the airport. There's no reason to have to hold us up.
You know where Santa Claus comes into a house.
I'm guessing through the back door.
Sorry, I didn't grow up Catholic. How many miles did Jesus walk on the river? How the hell am I supposed to know that? Like, I went to Lakewood Yeshiva.
Dude, you're an exception to this rule and 90% of the rules that apply to your basic human.
Bro, I'm fucking dead.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Mislabeled, here coming to you live from Miami, Brickell, Miami, I should say. Not Miami, Brickell, Brickell, Miami.
Brickell, Miami,
would be the correct way of saying
Miami.
It.
Miami. Brickell is in Miami. It's South Miami.
It's near South Beach. The Suarez, is he the mayor of this place?
Yes, because I think it is the actual city of Miami.
It is, right?
I think so. Well, yeah, talking out of my ass, but I think so.
Francis, bravo to you. This is the coolest place in the entire Florida, I feel like.
You've cured my depression.
It's true. But first of all, we have to get to, I'm going to say our guest. He's a good friend of ours that we're just hanging with.
David Jason, David Jason Tillum, the real DJT.
Jason? Where did Jason come in?
That's
the what's middle, your middle, middle name.
Oh, I'm getting renamed right now.
Is this your middle name, Jason?
This does feel like my bris. Yes. I'm about to get renamed. Oh, they don't name you by your bris. They name you by your Shalom Zachar, no?
No.
When did they name you?
Your bris.
They name you by the bris?
Yes, they name you by the bris.
Let's go. Going for it. I just got another name.
By the way, what do you want your name to be? Are you David officially or are you Dave? For the terms of the world.
For the terms of the world. So I guess, you know, each relationship is different. So there's no like specific.
But I'm saying if you have to be, if you were a celebrity.
Like I'm not going to walk into Moxie's bar and go introduce myself as David Tillum.
Right, so you're Dave.
Well, once again, depends. You know, I'm going to the BMG event tonight. And I'm going to go introduce myself as David Tillum.
I got it.
By the way, that is the BMG event.
Is that a crazy call?
No, it's fantastic. I'm just saying it's funny that like, I'm asking a pretty straightforward question, which basically is like in the non-Jewish world, if you had to introduce yourself in a job or something.
Well, we're talking to the Jewish world right now.
We're
talking to the
mainly,
world,
but we are talking to everyone. First of all, you have to understand one.
Well, let's first clarify. There's no Jason here. I don't know where Jason came into the whole picture.
He has no idea. Do you want to explain the joke?
You might as well, because I don't really know what's going on.
The actual joke is that Donald J. Trump, DJT. So if your name is David Tillum,
David
Tillum.
Oh, I get it. So you're comparing me to Donald J. Trump. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. DJT, so, we'll go with that.
So you're DJT.
100%.
Real DJT.
Is that a comparison you like or a comparison that you actually take big offense to?
I take zero offense to that. That's a comparison that I really enjoy, yes.
I love it.
If people tell me on the street, you bump into somebody, they're like, dude, you're just like Donald J. Trump. Like, are you serious? Like, hell yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love that.
Unbelievable.
Okay, first of all, we have to back up just a little bit. So first of all, David's obviously for anyone, well, not obviously, to us it's obvious, but anyone who doesn't know, Lakewood, the basic background. Yeah.
Number one bachelor of Lakewood, really, bottom line, yeah.
By the way.
That's at least 7 years.
Well, I don't know if I would like that on the street, but, you know, I'll stick with the Donald J. Trump.
Do you grab him? Is that, like, part of the law? Are you, like, exactly like Donald J.? Do you...
No, I'm saying, like, like you're going with...
I'm saying, if someone compared you as
far as... Oh, you're going with that. You're going with that, yeah. Not exactly, but, you know, I'll take the whole picture, then, if that's what comes with it.
Yeah, I hear you. You're saying if that's, like, a 0.00...
That's an odd gob, like, you know, okay.
I was saying the number one bachelor in a good way. Like,
no, very positive.
Number one, man.
Yeah.
Me you, and, wait, you walk into Glopite.
Well, it's a bachelor is necessarily, is that a good thing or no?
I mean, you're single. Bachelor just means you're single.
Right. I'm saying so the 40-year-old bachelor, like.
Well, if you're 40 and.
You're a bachelor. I guess it is what it is, but I'm just saying like.
You're saying that do you want to be married right now?
No, I think he's confusing two things.
Yes.
I'm not saying that I want to be married. Maybe a part of me wants to be married, but I'm saying like not necessarily as a bachelor a positive thing.
No, I think he's confusing one thing. Are you when you say the 40-year-old bachelor, are you saying the 40-year-old virgin or are you referring
no,
to? No. You're saying bachelor specifically.
What are you saying? I know what you're saying.
No, there's two different things. There's a movie called The 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah. So I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about a general concept.
He's talking about the general concept of being a bachelor is it's like you're an F-boy type.
No, I'm not. You could look at it like that, but also you could look at it like this guy.
But you're not. You're the most wholesome guy. No.
No, but you could also look at it. Thank you. I appreciate that. But there's two ways to look at a bachelor. There's a bachelor like the guy is a bachelor because he can't get married or, you know, he can't close a deal.
I don't think anyone looking at this video right now thinks you can't close a deal.
No, also, that's not just that. That's not what a bachelor really is.
A bachelor's just a single.
Okay, there's what it actually, like Warren is saying, a bachelor is if you're single.
Right.
Then you're, but it's not just that. A bachelor is also referred to as someone who's very eligible.
Yes.
Oh, eligible bachelor. Yes. Oh, okay.
Very eligible by definition.
Okay.
Meaning if you're queer and you're just a weirdo, you're not really a bachelor. Like,
and we've lost an opportunity at 100,000 followers because we've just shattered the gay community. If you're queer and you're a bachelor, fuck you.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I was just saying if you're a weirdo, queer as in a weirdo, not queer as in.
So you don't fall in the category of bachelor, you're saying once if you're a weirdo.
It's just not what people refer to. Like the guy in show that sits is coming out of his zipper that's 41. Guy's not a bachelor. Yeah,
right. You're making a joke, but last week my tits were out of my zipper.
No, what we're saying is...
I'm joking.
It's happened to me by mistake. Who's that not happened
100%. You see, it's not a problem if your tits are out of your zipper. The question is, how long is it out there for? If you show up to show Friday night and Shabbos day and it's outside your zipper, you're screwed.
No, but also, like, how far down... How long is the string outside of your
zipper? Right, also how long the string is, right.
Meaning the string's
if it's
your
one
knee,
string, five strings...
But also, if it's going down to your knee, there's just a little, like... Whatever.
Also, imagine all four tits are coming out. Like,
I'll tell you the biggest problem.
How did that happen?
I have something actually. Okay. The truth is, the zipper, the tits inside of the zipper hasn't happened. Well, since I haven't put on tits in quite too long. Way. So for those watching that have no idea what tits is, the strings that the Orthodox Jews wear, FYI. But the whole idea.
So trick is to keep them. Keep them inside the pants or hanging outside. They should not be coming out of the zipper for all you non-Jewish people.
Yeah.
For all you non-Jewish people watching this show or anyone who doesn't know what tittis are, they are not supposed to be coming out of the zipper.
We're talking
about when they do come out of the zipper.
In the terrible scenario that happens. Yeah. No, but I was more just saying that it hasn't happened to me since I was a young kid, but also I haven't, unfortunately.
I'm thinking about it just like from a physics perspective. How does it just happen that it just... gets its way to zipper because
it makes total
should
sense.
Be coming here and here.
No, it makes total sense. No, because you tuck in. It's the tuck that mean? Messes it up.
And
if you don't tuck
you
properly.
And then you're tucking all the way into
yes,
like, right
literally, that's what happens. Yeah.
I don't want to get too technical on Cam, but if you go to the John and, you know, you're closing up shop, then, you know, sometimes technical stuff could happen. And
this is what I was going to say, but Warren got me off. When you're a kid, though, I don't know if we could, I could say this, right? I don't give a shit. If you ever see, like, a young kid walking around and it's like, since they're like, there's dirty and then there's just like black.
Yeah.
Those were the worst.
The yellow ones.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm going to save this for the audience. I don't want to kill them. I feel like it's going to be too intense to go down this path. But
anyways, we have Dove and Tillum here.
We are in Brickell. We have Dove and Tillum in the house. Seriously, by the way, you know this. I've told you this. You are one of my favorite people, arguably in the world. For sure, single guys. For sure.
I really appreciate a label. Yeah. And, you know, I could say the same, definitely.
Truly?
Truly.
I'm on it.
Listen,
Thank
I
you.
Didn't know you for that long, but the little bit we do know each other, dude, you're one of my favorite people.
Okay, so
I've never seen someone so persistent, you know, someone
appreciate
who,
that.
Yeah, like.
So for those watching this, basically, we're shooting podcasts here in Miami. Warren and Tillum are on this trip helping out. doing a podcast right here. I don't think Dovin's going to be on more necessarily. I mean, it's up to him, obviously, if he wants to help. You know, I'm taking all my friends that I'm rolling with right now are welcome to come on the podcast. That's basically what's happening.
The start of this is going to hit the moon. So whoever is taking part is going to be on that flight to the moon.
Oh, you're saying mislabeled in general?
Yeah.
Mislabeled in general. You're talking about your podcast. So I'm just saying whoever wants to be part of it, like you're
saying. You're a believer in that.
I'm a big believer. I told you from the first time we spoke that I really think that this podcast is going to the moon. Like,
do you think it more now that you've seen what's going on in general?
Definitely, definitely. After seeing your podcast yesterday, you know, and just where you're going with this, 100% I think this podcast is definitely going to take off. I think it took off already in general, but, you know, relative to where I think it can be and it's going to be, it's nowhere there.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I do. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm feeling it for sure. We went out to eat. Happens to be the last, like, 3 to 4 months has really like changed a huge trajectory, specifically in the last like 15 pods. We've really taken it to the next level. Vivek, the girls pod, all these different things.
Yeah.
And I went out to eat for the first time in like a more standard place with him. We went to Wall Street Grill. It was an interesting experience for me, I'll tell you that.
For you, it was an interesting experience. I thought you were talking about Donald Trump. I literally thought I was sitting with Donald Trump by Wall Street Grill. I've never seen so many people come over to a table. Hey, label, can I take a picture with you? Oh, my God, I love your podcast. Bada, bada, bada.
The picture thing is really weird.
There were literally six people or maybe even seven. Literally who came over and, you know, and wanted to take a picture. So
people were literally dressing up as mislabeled on Pura. Not like dressing up as mislabeled. Like so it's dressing really up as the podcast.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird to go through this experience in real time and like, I don't know, explain it like, feel it as it goes,
right.
If that makes any sense, whatever. Yeah. But either way, so I have all the, so we're rolling basically. And sometimes to convince people to come to Miami and just like join you and help you out, you have to like make some good offers. You have to make an offer that they can't refuse. Warren and Tillam are running a very, very difficult schedule these days. Brutally difficult from what I understand.
Say that again.
Brutally bit difficult schedule. So I'll let Tillam start. Could you just give people an insight onto like what time the day starts and the progression.
Today and today itself or in general?
The last, I don't know, 5 days. You've been working really, really hard. So that's why I'm saying.
All right. Yeah. So for starters over here, we booked a 4-bedroom apartment. For some reason, the 4-bedroom only came with one bed. So you see these two couches that we're pretty much on. The backs go down. And you know what that means if the backs go down. That means we lie straight down flat on these, and these are our beds. So me and Warren are sleeping right near each other. I've woken up maybe 10 to 15 times minimum during the night. I look at Warren, I'm like, pass the e-cig, please. Like, you know, pass the chips, pass the Coke. And we just, you know, we do what we got to do, and we go right back to bed. But that's our night. For some of us during the day, you know, there's a few more knockouts. You know, some of us need to rest a couple of times during the day, you know, after all the hard work they put in.
Dovin has literally been fascinated by my ability to nap. He's like, I don't understand. Yesterday we went out, we did our basic daily schedule, right? Dovin wakes up 9 a.m., whatever it is, 8:30 a.m. You want a coffee? No, bitch, I'm sleeping. I don't want a coffee. He then goes and gets a coffee, comes back. He's like, I got shit sleep last night. It's the worst. Everything. I'm like, that's why I still need to sleep. Then I get up.
Can we just talk about that? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I offered him, I have a California king, or pretty close
to
it.
No one wants to sleep in the same bed as you, Label.
Is that so crazy?
I wouldn't say no one wants to sleep in the same bed as Label.
No, not like in that way.
Is it crazy for... I'm saying you could. It's not like we haven't slept in the same bed before. I don't care how weird that sounds.
No, for sure.
Okay, I don't care. So I offered a million times for you to grab. Literally, I take up one side of the bed. Right. I offered a million times for either of you to go grab.
No, Label did offer, but we never slept together. You know, as funny as it sounds, you know. So breaking the ice for the first time is a little hard. But Label did offer to put a mechitza in between the bed.
That's what you do.
A couple of pillow mechitza. Like,
I feel so guilty, man. Because by the way, me and him are similar in the sense that we need to sleep.
I need my sleep.
It's not just you need your sleep. I need my sleep too. But you guys can't sleep in certain accommodations. I'm passed out for 11
hours.
Dude,
you're like in the Waldorf Astoria right now. Like, I've never seen someone sleep so comfortably and for so many hours in my life. Like, dude, you're literally in the Waldorf. Like, all jokes aside, I'm not even joking.
It's a
learned
skill.
The second this pod's over, cameras pushed aside, bam, Warren's out. Dude, I just did a podcast. Ow.
we were tanning 2 days ago. We were tanning two days ago. We were out. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I actually didn't sleep the night before, the same way you hit it. He doesn't.
Yeah, and let me just reiterate what he means by not sleeping. It means that he didn't have over 12 hours of sleep, but he had above 8 for sure. That's what not sleeping is for Warren.
No, literally. I'm so tired. We're walking around. He's like, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've now been up for 6 hours, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. He goes, you want to go to Lincoln Road? I said, no, I don't want to go to fucking Lincoln Road, man. I want to go back home. I want to go to sleep. I didn't get good sleep last night. He's like, I'm like, how are you still functioning? He's like, once I'm up, baby, I'm up. There's no turning the engine off.
Dude, you turn that engine on, bro, up until I run out of gas. And usually that doesn't happen till the PM, later in the PM time.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you really don't sleep.
I'm not I'm not gonna get out of bed to go back to bed to now get a little sleep, and now I can't fall asleep at night. You know what I mean? Like once you take that nap, you have a hard time sleeping at night. So I'd rather push myself through a hard day. Even if I'm a little tired, just to hit the sack tired.
I hear that for sure. Yeah.
Most people are on your guys' side. Fought this with me for years.
Well, you're an exception because you can knock out during the day and you can knock out at night. So it's not like, it's not a problem for you. Most of us have a concern if we knock out during the day. Hey, how are we going to sleep at night? Dude, you're an exception to this rule and 90% of the rules that apply to your basic human.
So you're not the best motherfucker in the world, though.
Anyway, he is the biggest. How many times did I tell you? I'm like, I didn't know him so well. I knew him a little bit, but like, you don't even remember the first time I met both of you guys.
Where was it?
Do you remember the first time I met you?
I think LeBain.
Dude, I'm exiting LeBain. For all you don't know what LeBain is, LeBain's like a rooftop bar in the city, and
New York City.
And a few of my friends were there. We're exiting, and I hear a whole commotion at the door. Label the doorman, this and that. The guy's not letting Label in.
I know the story.
And I'm like looking, I'm like, LeBain's like, it's a crappy club as it is, rooftop bar, whatever it is. Who the hell makes a ruckus to get into that place? Nope, it's Label and Label Squad. I don't even think it's that they wanted to go in. I think it was more the fact that someone didn't let them in, so that's why they wanted to go in.
No, we were going in.
Remember the story?
I know the exact story. I remember vaguely.
The exact story was as follows. We got they only let like 4 people in instead of 6. And then the other 2 needed, there were 2 girls coming out.
I remember.
And Label asked very nicely. He's just like, 4 guys got in. They're only letting us, the other 2 guys in, if we have girls with us.
Right. That's okay.
So Label goes up and asks the 2 girls, you don't have to stay in with us or anything. 2 from girls, nice girls.
They were coming out already.
2 from girls, nice girls. And he says,
from girls? I've never seen from girls there. Wow.
Yeah, there were 2, no, I swear to God, 2 nice from girls. And Label goes up to them and says, can you guys just pretend to be our girlfriends for 2 seconds so that I can go up and meet my boys? Me and my friend can't get in. I think it was you and anyways. And one of their brothers was there. The brother goes, no, you're not taking my sister anywhere. And Label goes, what? I'm not taking her anywhere. All I need is her for literally 2 seconds.
One of the great cock blocks and like over like...
For 2 seconds. Label's like, I don't even... she can come back down in 3 minutes. I'm not trying to do anything. And...
Story also doesn't make sense.
The fight ensued.
But I don't think it was a fight.
It wasn't a fight.
I'm over exaggerating a little bit, but there was a little commotion at the door, and
it was
fun. Listen,
it doesn't make sense. It was me then. I don't know. It must have been someone else.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor for this episode, CubX. CubX is an IT company that personally does my own IT. I've recommended these guys to multiple of my friends. They have come back with nothing but rave reviews. These guys have fantastic, fantastic customer service. There are no hold times. You call, you get through, they fix your problem immediately, and they are truly a group of talented IT professionals. They service specifically companies of 5 employees or more. They have a special division for companies with 500 employees or more, and a additional division specifically dedicated to the healthcare field, which is an area that they particularly specialize in. If you'd like to get through to them, you can reach them at 732-444-8255. 8771. Press 2 to get through to the sales department. You can also email them at hello@cubx.com. That's hello@cubx.com. You can also check them up online at cubx.com. Again, that's cubx.com. If you're a new company that's starting out and need a great IT team, definitely reach out to these guys. Or if you're an existing company that is currently not happy with your existing IT firm, I would highly, highly recommend this group. Thank you so much, guys. Back to the episode. Back to the schedule over here, because this is the difficult part of the day. So yeah. Post-coffee, what's happening? So it happens in Brickell's beautiful. You don't really want to drive around there. You want to walk. It's a really city environment. I mean, I assume most people watch.
I'm not a big walker, but I enjoy
walking. Yeah, there's
no
parking up in here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, parking, yeah, costs an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah, no, yeah. We're going to get into that later in the thing, the whole situation with this Airbnb and the parking and all the other stuff. But the basic schedule is really he goes down, he goes, grabs his coffee, he then comes back. It's like 10:30, then he wakes me up like again. Yo, you want to go hit the sun? I'm like, yeah, sure. But I need my time. I need my thing. I'm like, I got to hit the cold plunge. I have never cold plunged in my life.
Neither have I, by the way.
Neither have you.
First time.
Never cold
plunge.
Dude, the amenities at this place.
There is nothing like the cold plunge.
Dude, I went into the first cold plunge and I did it. I have had a cold plunge every single day since.
By the way, you have to do it properly. Today I realized you can't go cold plunge to jacuzzi to sauna. Very bad move. Sauna you don't do in the morning, you do at night. It burns you out. I learned this over the last 4 days.
So,
you have to go jacuzzi, cold plunge, shower, out.
Exactly.
This all happens after your walk with your coffee over the Brickell Bay Bridge.
So it's very important. I 100%. Order my coffee in.
Yeah. Do you remember what I told both of you guys right when you guys came to Brickell?
That we're going to love it?
That too. But I'm like, you guys don't need rehab. Not you. I'm like, people don't need rehab. You got to come to Brickell for 1 year. You hit the cold plunge. You hit some hot yoga. You literally meditate a little bit. You get away from the world for 1 year. I promise you the outcome will be 10 times better than rehab. I've never been to rehab, so I can't like tell you for sure.
Fast forward
to the next episode. All right. but that is literally rehab. Like this is literally a rehabilitation. I had a rehab this week with you guys. Like
yeah, honestly,
this was a rehab. Like the cold plunge, the sauna, the jacuzzi. Going out to eat, just chilling, you know, just getting away from the whole world. Like, this is literally a rehab. Like,
I have felt less depressed than I have in the past 4 months. Just, I've gotten up, by the way, in the morning, 3 straight mornings.
It's true. That never ever
Which
happens.
Is, I know everyone looking in the camera is like, that's wild that that's something that you're proud of. I turned 30 3 weeks ago. And getting up at, and by the way, the morning does not mean I got up at 8 a.m. I got up before 12 p.m. every single day.
Dude, you have a chazaka already, man. Bro. You're good to go.
3 days straight, right?
Dude,
now,
he
I'm
hit
not
the
joking.
Chazaka.
I'm not joking. I feel like Muhammad Ali. I feel like I've conquered the world. And then I've been bathing in the sun. The sun is fantastic vitamin D. I've been hitting the cold plunge. Gives you whatever. It's those neurons are firing, baby. I'm canceling my therapy appointment tonight.
I was going to say, by the way, if there's a part of me that's debating right now, just like hanging up shot up in New York. I'm not even kidding.
How many times have I told you labeled? I love
There's a part of
Jordan.
Me debating
I love
it. I'm not
it,
kidding. I'm debating. Originally, in my brain, I was always like, I need to do the podcast. The only reason why I can't leave New York is because I need to do the podcast in New York. I'll tell you something. I don't even think that's true. I think New York and Miami are super interchangeable in a lot of ways as far as guests are concerned.
Yeah, for sure.
Very. Like,
dude, not only it's not true, there are so many guests in the Miami area that people would love to see.
No, I'm not saying not, but I'm not saying that's not true, but my point is just there's certain main places where guests reside. New York City is always just the epicenter.
Right.
Period. Like in people's brains, New York City, done. If you're in New York, no one could say, why are you in New York? Like one of my big things I've always had is that the studio's in Long Island. It's a little out of it. People are like, why would I can't come to Long Island?
Right.
If you're in New York, no one's an excuse no matter where they are in the world. They could be in fucking Venezuela. Bro, I'm in New York City, you come to me. Now, Miami is, believe it or not, I always thought it didn't apply. It was too far away, and it's not. There's so many people that are either live here or always are here so frequently that I think there makes no difference. And part of my brain right now, I have been looking at apartments, Warren. I mean,
I'm just letting you know.
We're moving. Like, I'm telling you.
I love the weir.
Oh, there's a, I said Weir?
Yeah, you're like, oh. Weir movie. I'm like, look, I'll just let you know.
Just include
if
me in
anyone
that too,
ever
please.
Has a place in a nice area, I'm always willing to take a couch.
Really?
I'm willing to take a couch.
I'll move. If I stayed in this apartment, you're here?
I would sleep on this couch.
Really? For how
6
long?
6 months.
6 months you give it.
Easy. Wow. Bro, I slept on a couch in Queens.
I remember that for a year and a half.
In Queens. For a year and a half. That was ripped.
Yeah, I do remember.
Okay? It didn't have a sheet on it. It was leather. I was getting up. I was like one of those sticky hands coming off of the wall. You know what I'm saying? There were people coming in and out of that apartment, and it was disgusting. Or probably roaches. I might look sometimes high maintenance. I understand, but
and you did that for Queens.
And in this regard, wow. I'm not high maintenance.
By the way, it is actually incredible. It is actually incredible how when we left. So I brought all the equipment. Everything's coming, going, whatever. Blah blah blah. I walk out with 3 suitcases, and he just starts cracking the fuck up at me.
Who?
Like Thav, it just starts cracking up. I'm like, what's so funny? He's like, bro, you're traveling like you're leaving for a year and a half to someplace outside the country. I'm like, dude, I have 2 of these suitcases are equipment.
Dude, the last time I had a suitcase was when I went to Centers the first year.
This guy is wearing a knapsack. One knapsack. I'm like, where's your carry-on? I don't have one. I'm like, how are you going to function? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I got 3 pairs of pants. I have 3 t-shirts. I have a pair of shoes that I'm wearing. Wear your shop. I don't do shopping shoes, bro. Wear your any other. This is the only pair of shoes I have. 4 pairs of socks and a brush. That's what I have with me.
I don't even have the brush yet.
So how do you? You don't need a brush?
No, I don't need a brush. Thank God. But dude, I just pack a knapsack. I told you, I went to Israel. I went to Israel for like 2.5 weeks just now. I just went with a knapsack. One of my pairs of pants ripped. I ran into Renoir, bought a new pair of pants. Like. You don't need to travel with a lot. It's so crazy. It's a huge misconception that people think that they just need to bring so much.
Right.
I feel like for me, it would be so much anxiety, like to know, oh my God, I'm going to lose this. Where the hell is this? I got to carry all this. When I just have a knapsack.
Can we try this together?
You guys should try it. I promise you.
It happens to be in general. Like you're right. Like it happens to be on vacation. I might bring an entire suitcase, but you know me. I wear the same 3 t-shirts and same 2 pairs of jeans all the time.
Right. Same. Can we try it? I
well, then you guys, there's a stomp something's wrong. If you pack a whole suitcase and you only wear 3 t-shirts. The problem is why most people pack is because they want options. They want to change. But like if you're not even going to change, then
you don't know that. You may want to. So
you
did.
But the worst case is it's not like you're going to like who knows where. Like you could always buy something.
He's like the worst case is you can walk to the Brickell City Center.
Literally, worst case is if you really need something bad enough, you can always walk into a store and buy something.
No, I agree, but it's just annoying. I'm buying an extra. I don't know. I have no idea exactly what goes to my head, but yes, I look. It's not like I overpack tremendously. I bring a carry-on and a knapsack. That's what I bring. Which I think
that's not crazy.
Well, to be fair, I brought a big suitcase this time because I don't know how long we're going to be here. I don't know if we're traveling somewhere else afterwards.
I still don't know how long we're going to be here.
Great, and so I brought a big suitcase because. Right now, people ask, you know, where do I live? I live where the people take me.
I hear that.
I live where the island is.
Tell the camp. Some people might want to take you.
Yeah, I live where the people take me, where the island is. That's where I live. I'm here right now.
You're up for adoption.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. When my nieces and nephews want me, I'm in Cleveland. When the podcast needs me, I'm in Miami. You know.
Bro, but I tell you, the amazing thing about him, I got to be honest, is he rolls and looks like he has a walk-in closet.
Correct.
At all times. On tap with a designer picking out your clothing and personal shopper. That's the impressive part. And you roll with the knapsack. I'm honestly, I'm fangirling on this. It's fucking nuts.
It was the thing you used to tell me is that I used to have my room.
I appreciate it.
I don't get it.
It's the same thing. I used to have my room, remember, piles of clothing. But then I went to a wedding. And people would be like, oh, look at that nice double-breasted suit. Like, I had just bought it probably with label in Italy or something from Israel. I just steamed it in the shower. I just threw a white shirt that's sitting on the floor, steamed it in the shower as well, put it on. People would never know that thing was just crumpled up in the corner of a closet for a good 3 years.
Bro, Warren has... My water bill in my house is definitely... He definitely uses 90% of the water bills on him. Put on the shower, leave for an hour and a half, and I'm like, "Why the fuck is the shower?
Besides that,
what is going on? This is, and I'm like, Warren, is the shower on for a reason? Yeah, I'm just steaming my suit. It's been there for 2 hours. Just leave it. It needs another hour. Like, bro, I'm running on cleaners, man.
This guy's running on cleaners.
I'm running fucking
trying to save money, you know?
Save money? It costs me money, too.
No, for him, it's 100% free. For him, he's saving money.
Well, it's not, because he also split utilities.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
So, that don't come up till the end of the month. I'm not really sure what is involved in it. It's
Fugazi Fugazi. He doesn't have definitive answers to it. It's like every month he just gets a bill of whatever it is. How much came from me? You taking a shower versus steaming my thing for 48 minutes? Who knows?
Wow.
What a time.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So
anyways, going really back to it, our daily thing, me and Dove is daily grind is what we get up to the beach. And not to the beach, you go to the pool, you hit the pool.
Yeah.
You know, we hit the one hotel one day with your buddies. We tan. David always, he has his sister's wedding coming up. So he's just like, I want to be black.
Got to get some color for the wedding, you know?
Well, I'll be honest, you and your sister, I, the fact that you were thinking, I didn't tell you this, but the fact that you were debating leaving at 6 a.m. is hilarious to me on Sunday. Okay, so his sister's getting married Sunday. By the time anyone watches this, the wedding will have happened already. I can tell you that.
Right.
If it's this week or next week, whenever we release this. But the point is, your sister's wedding Sunday night, and he's busy debating whether or not he should leave at 6 a.m. on Sunday. By the way, I don't think is so crazy.
I don't either, by the way.
But it's also crazy.
It's crazy to leave at, let's say, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. But if you're going to leave at 6 o'clock, there's 10 more flights that day, worst case scenario. That are going out, like, there got to be some flight that's going to take off.
I agree with you, but you didn't take it.
Didn't take it at the end of the day because I wanted to be there for Shabbos.
To me, the craziness is not that, meaning, if on Friday you had a 9 to 5 right now that, like, I need to take Sunday, it's the fact that Sunday is the, like, primary option at one point. It's like, okay, my sister's wedding is Sunday night. Like, a lot of people will take, we'll take the Sunday morning flight because that's what we have to do.
Right.
You know, like, I have to be in Shabbos for here, or I need to be here, or my kids can't get away from this, or, you know, I have something to be at Friday. You're like, originally, Sunday morning was your, like, that was prime time.
But you guys got to realize something is that, like, where am I going back to? Like, my family lives in Lakewood, like, I could stay in Miami till Sunday and just postpone that. Like that's another Shabbos in Miami. Like, who wouldn't want that? Like, that's a huge decision breaker right there.
I'm very much I'm with you 100%.
I'm with you
100%. What was I going to say to you? Okay, so you're flying back.
So I'm going back
Friday.
Friday, tomorrow. 11:30 a.m., yeah.
Got it. Yeah, no, I hear that. Flying, it's its own thing. Good luck.
I used to drive, when I was living in Miami, I used to drive back and forth half the times instead of flying, because I hated flying so, I still do.
There's something of having no agency and no control over
your life. That's it. You just get into your car, you could stop whenever you want to stop. You want to take a cigarette break. You want to go buy some munch. If you're tired, you're going to a hotel. Like, you run the show when you're in your car. Like, I used to do it.
100%. 100%.
But yeah, I've drove plenty of times, maybe over 10 times, like, back and forth from Miami and back. And then I realized, like, it's crazy. I'm putting so many miles on my car.
Yeah, obviously. You cannot drive a nice car back and forth.
Yeah, I was like, I'm putting so many miles on my car. Like, it just from a financial standpoint, it's just retarded. It costs triple the price to drive and to fly.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't make sense at the end of the day. As much as everyone wants agency and control, it's still like...
The only thing that they say about flying, and I don't know this, but they say having the whole lounge access and all the different things, like, there's a whole... It's a whole different ballgame. Like, we do the thing where...
A little bit.
If you have business class, TSA pre-check, all the lounge accesses, because you have the Amex cards, the Chase cards, the that. They say you can go to the airport 10 hours early.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, literally, like... They're giving you free drinks at the place. There's showers. There's this. There's that. Everything. And by the time you get through security, you're now there for 8 hours.
I was telling you this on the way here. The fact that you're right. I hear what you're saying, but it's, I don't want to have to go 10 hours.
No, I agree. I'm just saying that they say it's a whole different ball.
If you go, by the way, 72 hours before and you sleep in your car for 2 days, you'll be the first one to get... I'm saying, bro, it's very simple. I was telling him this on the way here. I was saying, I wrote this. I was writing this on the chat. I'm like... The fact that we're in 2024 and there's no way for me, I don't know how, whatever, for me to walk into the airport, whether it be TSA pre-check, whatever it is, and walk right the fuck through and not have to start pulling off my shoes and this and that. And oh, by the way, if you have more than one laptop, more than one electronic device, I have to pull everything out. All these different rules. Like, dude, my name is Label Wiener. I'm not a fucking terrorist. Like, what do I need to do in order to just, like, get that point across? To just, like, be able to walk through this motherfucker, dude.
That's a great call.
My name is Label Wiener. Can you imagine him being on, like, can you imagine him being on CNN, Fox News?
No, it's driving me mad, bro. So he's like, oh, and I did the TSA thing. Right, the gold
I give you the practical
and he
answer.
And he said, the practical answer is, the reason why you still need to go through and do all these things is because you could have been radicalized at any moment.
I said, yesterday, you could have been radicalized yesterday.
But it doesn't happen overnight. Fine. So how often do I need to check in and do go through a therapy session to make sure I'm not radicalized to send it to the state?
Dude, very valid point.
What the fuck, man?
Like, you got to bump it. Every time I meet my friend the next day, I got to hope he wasn't radicalized the night before. Like, like, dude, we're chilling. Like, I just left you guys for a few hours. I'm coming back like, dude, sitting right near this. Yeah, like, I hope he wasn't radicalized and stabbed me in the neck, you know, while I'm sleeping.
Of the three people, yeah. Like, we should be on, like, some sort of list. We are on lists.
We're definitely on lists. Don't think you're Mr. Clean over here. You know, you're not on any list.
We are
blacklisted in a lot of different areas, but, you know, this is... But the one area we didn't hit yet is the airport. And, you know, like, there's no reason to have to hold us up. This guy's making it like he's Mr. Perfect over here.
That was like a blacklist everywhere. If I ever need some place to live, yeah. I want to know that I can hit to the airport from there.
I'm actually blacklisted from the Fontainebleau.
Are you?
Yeah. Which doesn't make any sense. It wasn't my fault. But
I feel like it makes a lot of sense, first of all. I don't have to know the story.
You're right. I should reiterate it. It makes a lot of sense, but I happen to see this wasn't my fault.
Okay, explain.
Yeah.
I can respect that. I was that
What's
kid
the story?
Also.
Story behind it.
So we were all underage, and one guy rolled in with like a big bottle of vodka. We weren't staying there. And the morning, I'll bring glass to the pool.
Okay.
Okay, so hold on. I don't want to hype this story up like this is a crazy story in the world. Nothing really happened. It was just that, and we were making up room numbers. Like, what's your room number? We kept on making up new room numbers and this and that.
You're being yeshiva guys.
Yeah, we're just being, you know, your regular yeshiva guys. And for some reason,
you're not being a regular 17-year-old. You're being a regular yeshiva guy.
Yeah, oh, of course. No, you know why? Because only yeshiva guy can come up with a chop. A regular 17-year-old, once a bottle's there, he's out. He's running for the hills.
You know what's so funny about these stories? Like, the regular yeshiva guy, like, label, you always talk about this, is like...
I didn't finish what he was saying.
Oh,
the story's basically over. No, and then
you're blacklisted, like you can't get in.
So
get the hell out of here.
No, so they took a picture of me and my friends. Literally, I thought like this is the craziest thing. They called the cops, lined us up, took a picture of each one of us, and they were like, "Yeah, you guys can't come on the premises anymore, like forever." And
no,
I'm like,
way.
"What happens if I want to stay in the Fontainebleau with my wife?" No, you can't. But
I've been
back there since. Thank God they didn't recognize me.
They're not
but
freaking,
yeah,
no,
they don't really care about me. The guy who brought the bottle of vodka in there, but yeah,
even him, come on.
But it happens to be like the Fontainebleau, like
what do you mean? In 2091, you're gonna be 88, a war veteran, and they're gonna be like, you were here 17 years old, 89 years ago, and
yeah, I don't know if they have a whole storyline. It could just be that there's a list of people that are blacklisted, and then you know,
it'll be interesting. Yeah,
no, but like the yeshiva guy thing, it's like when we were here during Corona, me and you. We're just like, because now they have all, I don't know if when you were, but now they always have the different bands every single week, right? And the different colors. Me and Labor are like, I understand. Why can't we just buy these bands online and just buy 100 of them?
Yeah.
And literally just in every single color, it doesn't make a difference. No other person besides the yeshiva guy would ever think about doing that.
Exactly.
Ever.
It's a no-brainer move.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer move because of us, because of our, because of the
Gemara heads, yeshiva guys. If they wanted to come up with scams, they could come up with the best scams.
If they wanted, they do come up
with them. They do come up with the scams. I'm just saying, if they wanted to take it like next level, like Bernie Madoff style.
For sure.
Some of them do.
Like literally, I'm saying some of them do. I'm saying obviously we don't hear about the ones who didn't get caught yet.
Yeah.
You know, which is probably plenty of them.
Oh, yeah, I know plenty.
Yeah, for sure.
But I guess that's what Gemara teaches you in a certain... Teach you how to think. And
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't just say that. I'll be honest. It teaches you how to think.
And once you start thinking, you can use your head for either way.
So there's various things. We were actually talking about this a little bit. I think that there's good aspects and bad aspects to this. It comes from, in my opinion, a sense of, believe it or not, an aspect of entitlement, believe it or not, I think.
Really? And you think over like the logical...
I'll explain. Because if you're from... Most from guys that are like with it... Right. All have tremendous aspirations and all want to be millionaires. It's just like factual. Like you grow up religious.
In the tri-state
area. You're around a lot of money.
Right.
Okay, I'm just saying. You're around a lot of money. And therefore, you want to make a lot of money. Off the bat, like, whether it's a self-esteem thing, or most times linked to that, you want to make a money.
Definitely,
and then there's not necessarily, it's not always the worst thing, but you want to make money.
Right.
And once you need to make $1 million, your brain starts working. How do I start? How, then already your brain starts shifting, right? It's a total mental shift of how do I get ahead in life? That's really what it comes down
to.
It's
also another thing, not to interrupt, but there's also,
I think,
it's a, there's also like a lack of respect for rules.
I believe it's more
it's
that.
It's the same thing.
It's a lack
no,
for,
I agree, but how does that happen from the entitlement, from the how do I get ahead in life? It's right, all interconnected.
But it's how do you get ahead, but it's also a real lack of respect of rules.
Yes.
It's like because I'm at the Fountainblou, and even though the Fountainblou doesn't allow other people to stay, get in the pool because they don't have pool cards, it's a lack of respect for the people that paid all that money in order to go and actually
well, have the amenities. Well, Zen Enevazel Chasser on that.
I don't know what the fuck you just said.
Means that it's a concept of
where
someone else is not losing.
Right. Oh, no, I'm not saying I'm not, I've snuck into the Fountainblou 40,000 times in my life. Right. I'm not holier out thouing it. I'm just saying this is like the concept of it.
No, I think there's just, again, I don't think this is necessarily a good thing, but at the end of the day, when your brain starts working along those lines, it's a catch. I want it, and that's why you really have to work on yourself because there's a good aspect.
What you're saying, I don't think contradicts though the learning. I think once you're, I think it's the same concept. Once you start thinking, then you start thinking, and you could either think positive or we're calling this positive or negative. Negative meaning, you know, the same exact outcome but in a crooked way.
Yeah. Right.
So you know, once you start thinking, you start thinking. Like I said.
Yeah. Listen. When you're just figuring out ways all day to beat the system and get ahead, I think that's like a huge aspect. It's very dangerous. It can be really, really good. It leads to good meetings and bad meetings. That's the truth.
Also, it happens to be living with personally me meeting Label and living over the past 10 years. When Label sees something and he sees there's something about it that doesn't feel like it's being produced or done in a way that is like the most efficient, his brain all of a sudden starts firing and like, what the hell is going on? So like, I just randomly, we ordered Smash House, right? And and it's like, they charge 50 cents for every dip. And like, these restaurant businesses are always charging, and Label's looking at me, he's like, something about it doesn't make sense to me. Like, why is every single place charging, like, are dips that expensive? Like, that everyone's doing it? And like, and then Label will go in like this entire
psychology
of everything.
How to figure out exactly
what the heck's happening here.
I think it makes no sense to charge for this.
It's bullshit. No, it is bullshit.
No, I'm talking about from financial standpoint.
No, financial. Well, it's bad.
You make the
service.
Extra 50%, but by the time we get it, we're so pissed off.
Yes, correct.
Like,
right. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm not going to
order the price of the burger.
Like my association.
And give me as many dips as I want.
Right, my association towards a place just is negative now because... Even though the burger might have been cheaper, like you just said, raise the price on the burger. Even though the burger was cheaper, the fact that you charge me for the sauces is going to come out that it just doesn't make any sense.
We had such a whole thing. So then I said to Shmuley, we were talking about this, I literally, they're taking through the conversation. I said to Shmuley, I'm like, well, what about the person who's going to take 15 sauces? And then at the same time, we're like, okay, but how often is that going to happen?
Well, they could also make a limit on how many sauces you
get. They shouldn't even. Because how often is that even going to happen that it's worth... The customer service is the whole experience.
Also, it happens to be another thing.
It's not going to die. One person every 3 weeks is going to be
retarded. Also, how many guys aren't going to take sauces, like you just said? You know, you're going to have one guy who takes 15 sauces, and they're going to be another guy who doesn't take any sauces.
Right.
And also happens to be the reason why people will take more sauces at the places they can get sauces, because most places don't offer you to have a lot of sauces. So because of it, now psychologically, it's like, how many sauces can I get my hands on?
It's just, my thing is that in business in general, in life, you know, I was told a crazy, someone yesterday told me a crazy thing. So I met with someone that's pretty, honestly, pretty heavily connected. It was not a brag thing, pretty heavily connected in the Trump campaign and the Trump team. And the person said to me, she's like, you know why you are so successful. She's like, I realized, you know why you're so successful with your guests? That's what she told me. I said, well, why? She's like, because you make it so easy for them. You make it so easy. Their first question is, well, and she knows because she helped me get someone one time. So she was like, I said, I think you should do this podcast. And that guest responded, well, how am I going to get to New York? I don't really want to do that. And he's like, no, you don't have to move. You don't have to go anywhere. You come right here. It's going to be set up for you. You don't have to do anything. He just wants 1 hour. Telling you it's worth it. 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, it'll be set up. You walk in, you walk out. But, and the point that I'm basically getting at in this experience is that it's to me, that's so fundamentally simple. And it's the same thing applies to the service industry.
Every industry, yeah.
Every industry, but let's just talk about, we're talking about food, so let's just talk about food. If I'm ordering from you, I want the least fucking amount of issues possible. Done. I want to get the food. I don't want to be like, why the fuck didn't you give me napkins? Why the fuck didn't you give me cutlery? Just have it there. Just like show a little, like the odds of me reordering from you goes up 20%.
And the food could even be an extra dollar, $2. No one's even going to notice the minute difference.
No, not at all.
But they'll notice the minute difference between the sauces, the plates.
You could charge less and not give sauces, not follow directions, not give the cutlery.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there eating a salad with my hands because you didn't give me a fork.
Yes.
Dude, I'm Uber Eats. I could be literally on the side of a highway and ordering. It's Uber Eats. There's a reason. You don't know where I am. I don't have access to anything. Why would you be a cheap ass? And by the way, I was telling him, which is even crazier, I was telling him, I'm like, it's not like Uber Eats. Uber Eats is a key thing these days. It's a fundamental piece of a business. So many people order out now. I judge a restaurant just as much on an Uber Eats order, and I think everyone else does.
I judge them more on an Uber Eats order
than when I'm there. So why would you not pay more attention on Uber Eats and just like then less?
I think honestly Uber Eats orders. Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy to me. I don't make any sense.
And I think Uber Eats orders, by the way, are effed up 50% of the time.
Yeah.
At least 50% of the time.
I'd say 25 to 30% of the time.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
And then there's no recourse for it. You call up the place. The place doesn't even know if what you're saying is true. They don't know if you're lying. It's a whole...
I hear that. One time, by the way, they didn't give me... I ordered from a sushi place. They didn't give me spicy mayo and mayo. Not that I'm some badass or anything. But I just made a decision. It happened to be previous. I made this decision. I'm not enjoying my sushi. I told the guy. I said, please come and bring me back spicy mayo and sushi.
Yeah, it's like getting a spicy chicken mayo sandwich and without barbie, so without any sauces. Like, you can't eat a dry chicken sandwich.
And he's like, no, I'm not... I said, bro, I ordered sushi. You gave me no sauces. What the hell? Like,
yeah.
I just paid $20. I can't even enjoy what I ate, you know, what I ordered. So,
you know what the opposite of these, of.
Point is, less barrier to entry. Like, just make it easy for
people. You know, I brought back some sushi if you guys want.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm in.
You want?
You know, I don't eat sushi, but.
Do you know who mastered this whole thing back in the day? Nordstrom. They were known. Returns. Nordstrom was known that. You don't need the receipt. You don't need this. They just trust people. They come in, the sole of your thing. Now, the Yeshiva guys took the hell advantage. Yeah. They would wear Ferragamos for 2 years. They'd, you know, they'd bring them back and be like, oh, the sole fell off. I just bought them 25 days ago.
Way, such a nonsense.
Okay, now, they did do that. Such and
a nonsense. Dude, these guys play basketball. And there's
bro, 100%. There were people that did that. But the overall, Nordstrom clearly made a cheshbon. They clearly made a decision that overall 98% of people are not doing this, and now they're going to come and buy from us because they know that we're not going to give them issues every single time.
I think Nordstrom did it for years. Charles Turwood also has something like that.
Charles Turwood also is very good about
Land's End. Land's End.
Is this true?
Stop selling to Lakewood, I'm pretty sure.
Is this true, Hawk?
They were the first ones. Land's End was the first. They're not around anymore, are they?
I don't know. I used to always remember to get their magazines and stuff.
I feel like the marketing team, the PR team just went
I don't even hear about Land's End anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I think when we moved from the magazine to the digital age, I feel like
Land's End and LL Bean. Land's End and LL Bean lost their...
LL Bean.
What was LL Bean?
Sears also. Sears
went bankrupt. That everyone knows. That's not...
They just never upped their game. They never moved into the social media, e-commerce. Yeah. They never got out of magazines.
That's my point. There's something, bro. If you don't adapt... Right, what's the famous line by Darwin? It's not the...
You don't adapt, you die?
No, it's not the survival...
Survival of the fittest?
Oh, no, there's a famous line, though, but it's basically the people that survive are not the smartest, they're not the strongest, it's those who have the ability to adapt. I'm pretty sure that's the line, but it's so true. It's like, you see it in business all day. Like,
look at BlackBerry.
And Blockbuster. Right. And all these guys, it's just crazy. Oh,
yeah.
If you don't move with the times...
Yeah,
so that's why I'm so addicted. I'm on TikTok all day, bro. I'm on everything.
That's why I'm on TikTok all day also. So that's why I
appreciate it. You're moving with the times. You went to Vivek. Now you're up to me. You know, that's it. You're trending upwards.
100%. By the way, so we're moving. We're going to another Airbnb tomorrow. Well, not Airbnb. We're out of this place tomorrow.
You show. Let me know where to show up, baby.
First of all, Can we just talk about this Airbnb for a second? This motherfucker. Listen, this is what I have to listen to all day. Where are we tomorrow?
No, I just let me over the show, bro. If I need to, I'll hit a hostel for the night.
Okay. Either way.
Have you ever done a hostel?
I've done a hostel once.
I've done it a couple times. They're not that bad.
Gross. Yeah. Never, ever, ever in the history. Yeah. I would literally quicker sleep on a bench. And I say that, I'm dead serious, by the way. I would quicker sleep on a bench.
A park bench?
Yes. Than on a going to
a hostel.
Yeah, at least the park bench is yours.
Just like, I don't want to be around other people, bro, that are gross and disgusting. I'd rather just own the bench and everyone else just away from me. Like, you don't know, does that make sense?
I told you. As long
I
as
hear
you
that. You don't have a pillow and blanket, though. You don't have a mattress.
I don't have a pillow and blanket. I want to go shower. Near one of those pillows and blankets. Ugh. Bro, are you
Dude, that's a luxury, man.
Yeah, by the way, pillows and blankets right now are a luxury. Why? For us. Like, no, I'm trying. I'm like, Label, can I get another pillow? Can I get another pillow?
You know something? You guys had the opportunity at every step to literally say, Label, call the landlord of this place or whatever, the host, and get us stuff. By the way, talking about
that. Yeah, let's talk about the entire freaking
this
thing.
This fucking Airbnb. These motherfuckers, okay? Nah, I'm dead serious, by the way. Honestly, it looks out the picture. It's lipstick on a pig. Look, I get that it's an Airbnb and that it's not going to be necessarily like it could look nice and not be the best quality. But these guys left us with no garbage bags.
Yeah.
Okay. No
cleaning products.
No cleaning products.
The toilet doesn't work. What do you
think? The toilet doesn't work. Yeah. Literally, you have to manually put your hand into the back of that motherfucker.
By the way, you have to get your hand wet.
You have to put it in the back of the toilet.
the craziest thing.
The flush thing is broken.
But one thing that's working is the ice machine.
Yeah, that's
huge. Yeah, it keeps me up the whole night. Yeah, the only thing that's working is the damn ice machine. I hear the crunching all night over here. Yeah,
but in the middle of the night, he was freaking out. He went out drinking, whatever it was. His brain was not working at a million percent. The ice machine starts going. He gets up, he's like, who the fuck's at the door? What's happening? I'm like, bro, he literally, I've never seen a guy.
Oh, you thought someone was coming in?
I thought someone was coming, because I look, and I see Warren sleeping.
You're like, what the hell's
going on? Your door is shut. I know you went to bed 2 hours before.
Yeah,
bro. And I hear the door, it sounds like the door is shaking, and I'm like, who the hell is at the door over here?
I wake up.
Yeah, someone's coming to kill Miss Lady.
Correct. I wake up. I'm like,
Flapless Girl is here. That's it. She found out where Label is. She's coming for him. Shmuley Boteach is coming. That's it. Shmuley Boteach. He lives in Miami. He's coming for Label.
Shmuley has no. I have no beef with Shmuley Boteach.
No, you did make that. We made that little joke over there with Shmuley.
Which joke did we make? I think he's cracked. But what joke?
No,
I actually heard.
Oh, the Candace Owens.
I need to say something that's
the Candace Owens costume.
I need to say something that's unbelievable. And I'm going to make a phone call after this to see if I have to cut this. And I'm not saying that for real because I'm going to. I heard a crazy thing. Everyone is shitting on Shmuley Boteach.
I love the guy.
I never shat on him. I just think that the nose that he put on looked like a phallus.
No, let me be clear. Up till what I heard yesterday, I was a little like, this guy, I actually think he's a very smart guy based on all the arguments I've heard him make. Super intelligent, super well-read, super... But I think that, probably like other people, he at this point has a place on national TV. And he is way too unhinged. And at the end of the day, making us look bad. That's really what it comes down to.
The PR aspect you're saying.
He's making us look bad. Jews. That's it. He's making
the Kiddush Hashem aspect.
He's making Jewish people look bad because most non-Jewish people cannot decipher between one Jew from the next.
I'm going to say a crazy concept.
What is
right
Miss Label doing is the question.
I'm going to say a crazy concept right now on that.
Here's more.
Whether he is, whether he isn't, the more we make a big deal about someone making a Chilul Hashem or whatever it is, to a certain extent, this is a crazy concept. You might get some heat. I might get some heat for this.
I mean, it might not
the
be
more
true,
you make right? a bigger deal about something, the more energy you give it, the more energy is there. So... the more we hate him and announce publicly how wrong he is or this and that, you're just giving him more clout.
Maybe I would agree with that in a certain world, but the public world.
I think the Lubavitch Rebbe said something about anti-Semitism, and I could be wrong. And I've heard this from somebody, you know, so I didn't hear this from the Rebbe himself.
You weren't alive.
I wasn't alive.
You were born in 96?
But I'm just saying.
The Rebbe was dead in 94.
Yeah.
Well, he's still alive, obviously. I'm saying.
He's still alive. All I'm saying is
the Rebbe was died in 94. I was born in 94, and no one thinks that the Rebbe actually died.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying I'm the Rebbe. I'm just not saying I'm not the Rebbe.
You're definitely a Rebbe. I don't know if you're the Rebbe. You're definitely a Rebbe. But no, getting back to it, the Rebbe said that. How do you fight anti-Semitism? Is by keeping quiet. The more you feed it, the more you feed it.
Yes and no. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, look, I can't talk to something the way it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, that also could be 30 years ago. I'll tell you this right now.
It's very simple. At the end of the day, Shmuel Boteach has a big platform. I respect the hell out of getting to that place, but with that comes responsibility. And when you are, at the end of the day, most non-Jews cannot, first of all, are looking to leech on to anything that has gives them the ability to be anti-Semitic, a lot of non-Jews. And when you go and give that to them on a silver platter, okay, at the end of the day, you're making us look bad because most of these people can't even decipher between, he calls himself a rabbi, he's Jewish. At the end of the day, people right. can't decipher between a secular Reform Jew and us who don't agree with him and realize, okay, this guy's not really a rabbi. Like, I'm sorry, I will say it. He's not the classic, he's not the rabbi that most of us refer to as our rabbi set. Like, and I don't even think he would claim that he is that, right?
I've learned a lot from that guy. Just
in what regard?
In general, in life, and perspective, I'm not saying he's like, wrong. He's a genius.
I'm not saying that he's not. But at the end of the day, if you're making the Jewish people as a whole look absolutely ridiculous and feeding into tremendous, you know, anti-Semitism at a very, very contentious time, it's a poor look. Now, with that being said, I heard a crazy story, and this is what I was getting to about yesterday. So up till yesterday, I was on this train of like, I think he's brilliant. I wish he would just be a little... Also, what happened on Purim was insane. Just to clarify, this is insane. Up till then, I was just like, okay, if you're going to argue with Cenk Geiger and Muhammad Hijab, just don't... Just, you're smart. You have the arguments on your side. Stop with the personal insults off the bat and just being... You know, so attacking. And if I'm saying this, bro,
if Label Wiener is telling you to stay away from the personal insults and the attacking,
I understand PR. I know where to go, when not to go. You have to understand that context.
He's saying the same thing, by the way. I know where to go and where not to go.
But he clearly doesn't. because literally.
But the next guy saying mislabel clearly doesn't. I
hear you, but I'm just saying, it, overall, right now, as far as winning public opinion and public debate is a very, very different thing than street fighting. Okay? When he's going on Piers Morgan, he's on a public debate.
Label
forum.
Going on. How you win a debate
publicly is very different than being on social media and how to handle social media.
Label versus Flapper Scroll is very different than Shmuley Boteach going on Piers Morgan.
You have a moderator. You don't get to say whatever. You only have so much talking time. Right. You have to understand how the world's going to perceive it given the minimal talking time you have. It's a totally different strategy. Okay? No, now, I don't normally talk about these things, but these are the facts. So ultimately, at the end of the day, there's a reason why Ben Shapiro is widely regarded as an amazing debater, and Sam Harris is widely regarded as an amazing debater. And Shmuley Boteach, if you look at the comment section, people just think he's retarded and gets smoked, even though the actual content of his argument in these debates is fantastic. Going to what I was actually going to say, not to bore everyone and not to keep not getting to the story, I was with someone yesterday. So after this Candace thing of him dressing up, it was just so terrible, honestly.
It was just retarded.
It's just psycho. It's so bad, right? But it's not the point. Fine. I was on the, okay, this guy, I don't know, maybe lost his marbles. I'm confused about it. I don't care enough to think about him. But
I'm just picturing the costume.
Totality, he's sitting there with the red thing. I'm drinking Christian blood, bro.
He had a penis on his nose. I'm telling you, if you guys look at the picture now again, you'll never look at his nose the same. It's
disgusting. Also, by the way, he was holding a baby in his hands. Like, dude, there's a baby. Get the baby the fuck out of this equation and out of this video. I'm being honest. Bro, it's a baby. Like, you don't put a baby in any context of you having a penis on
your nose and blood libel
and drinking blood from a red Slurpee's 7-Eleven cup.
He was making a rabbi joke.
Well, the guy's holding a sippy cup. He's holding a baby in his hand, saying I'm drinking Christian blood and has a penis coming off
his
nose.
The kid's going to go to therapy in 15 years and like someone's going to be like, okay, there's something deep within you that's like something that's stirring up.
He's traumatic.
Like, traumatic is like... Yeah, I remember this story when I was a year and a half. My dad was holding me on firm. He was drinking blood. And I had a penis as a nose.
Bro, so bad, bro. Anyways, but my perspective actually changed.
Does this get caught or not?
Hell no.
No. But this is nothing to do with this.
Why would this get caught? First of all, nothing gets caught. Okay, that's first of all. Nothing gets caught. Now, with that being said, no, I'm serious. You know me. I rarely, I could count on one hand how often things have gotten cut.
No, I know you don't count anything. That's part of the reason it is what it is.
Right, correct. Now, real talk. So I was with this person yesterday, and they told me that Shmuley Boteach is the one who is responsible for changing RFK Jr.'s entire perspective on Israel. Mm. He's very close to them. RFK Jr., post-October 7th, has been a staunch defender of Israel, and he's been on all the liberal shows and actually went right at them. And they're like, they come in thinking he's going to respond something because he's more moderate, sort of to the left Democrat.
Yeah.
And they all like started him with Israel and like thinking he's going to say one thing. And he just came out of left field. They did not see it coming, but like really defended Israel. And she's like, prior to knowing Shmuley Boteach, RFK Jr. was not a fan of Israel at all. And Shmuley Boteach went and actually educated RFK Jr. significantly to actually what is going on in Israel and what the truth is. And since then, he has totally changed his perspective. And this has happened over the last 2 years. When October 7th happened, she said, if there's one person as crazy as anyone wants to say Shmuley Boteach is, no one actually understands that he dramatically shifted RFK Jr.'s perspective, which I think is a very, very impressive thing. So
yeah, it's also impressive. That's a huge thing. Besides impressive, it's important.
It's unbelievable. He's a big time politician. He is. I have to get him on the pod. I think I'm going to get him on the pod, honestly. I'm going to make
some. I don't know.
RFK. No, this pod cannot handle Shmuley Boteach right now. No, I'm joking. Maybe I'll get Shmuley on the pod. I have no idea. I'm not against. No, I will get him on.
RFK. I happen to like RFK. The only thing is that voice.
Oh, yeah.
It's very. It's
way worse than mine.
Way worse. Not and even that, close. I don't that know. Is talent.
Do you think you could lead? What is it, though? It feels like he has a trait or something. Seriously, what is the voice?
I don't know. We all will ask him when he's on.
I feel like he has an actual voice impediment. But like something happened to his vocal cords.
That's
like,
not so crazy.
Could that be me?
Yeah, it has to be. Because if you watch videos of him younger, he didn't have the same voice.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't.
Does that mean I'm at risk of this?
You're definitely at risk of this. Do you remember that you said you went to a doctor and the doctor said you have the worst vocal cords that they've ever seen in their entire medical career?
Is that really
okay? Label went.
She said one of the worst. Yeah.
Label went to it because he has this voice that he. It sounds like
sometimes it's much weaker. It gets really weak,
right. And he gets weak, and it gets weak quickly. Like you scream for an entire day.
If a Friday night I go to a dinner,
do you smoke at all?
No. Well, depends who you ask. And what smoking is considered. Right.
Not saying because smoking could cause something like that.
No. It definitely...
Maybe contribute, potentially.
Maybe contribute, but if he goes a Friday night, has six shots at a meal, and, you know...
There's 25 people there?
And gets in a great conversation with someone for 2 hours, you know, and the voices start raising, whether it could be a good... It could be literally a laughing conversation or an argument. It doesn't make a difference. The next day, Label will wake up and can't talk.
Yeah.
He went to a doctor to try to figure it out.
There we are. All of a sudden, my voice, I have to talk like this.
Yeah.
My voice the
doctor,
is so shit.
So he comes over to me always. He comes over to me. He's like, well, I can't talk. I don't know. Dude, like, is this normal? Like, do you also wake up like this? I'm like, I've lost my voice. And everyone that knows me, my brothers make fun of me about this also. I'm a loud talker also. Like, I also don't have good voice control. And we just, you happen, my best friend happens to be, also has the worst voice control in the entire world. So you have me and Label in a room at any point, any time. Someone's trying to sleep, someone's trying to do anything, it's over, it's dead. Yeah. But he went to the doctor, and the worst vocal cords they've ever seen.
She was
one of the greatest lines
she
ever.
She said, I like have to get voice.
You're not joining Miami Boys Choir.
Join Miami Boys Choir, bro. I can barely talk. You're not joining.
And he can carry a tune, by the way.
DL, I'm more musical than you.
DL, Label,
I'm tone deaf. I cannot carry a tune.
No, Label can actually sing. The problem is he can only sing for 12 minutes.
Come on, give us something.
And then,
what do you want me to sing?
I don't know. What's your Label sing?
I hit a little Rachim.
Yeah, all Rachim.
Oh,
God.
Should I do this?
Go for the cash. This could blow you up.
Oh, I can't do this.
You'll have your Rachmiel Bagam banging your phone down maybe or something right after.
He'll be gone to Shwaki. That's how you feel me, bro. Jacob
Schweiker. I didn't know either. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know the words to Rachim. No, but you remember?
You know that Schweiker song.
Yeah, I think so.
Of course it's Schweiker song. Yeah, bro. 2002.
You seem like you know everything about the song.
2002. This guy.
Hit us
by
a
the
little
way,
Rachim.
Music, Label's music knowledge, Jewish music knowledge of it is... wild,
bro.
Label has a knowledge in the most interesting areas out there.
Really?
Yeah.
What like, regard?
I just find that you're very educated in random areas that, like,
give me an example of where that came up so far on this trip.
Well, I shouldn't call it random. You see, like, you're very educated in politics. Okay. I didn't realize till yesterday how educated you were in sports.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay, true.
Okay.
I'm educated in older sports, not
in the business sport. World, you're very educated.
Okay. But I'm, yeah, I mean, so sports was growing up as a kid, teenager, whatever. Current right. Sports, I don't know that much about. Business is business, and politics, I mean, whatever. These are spaces that I'm playing in
disagree?
Right now.
Do you disagree? Do you think you are more educated than your average man in, let's say, politics and sports?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. It depends. You really live under a rock, so it's
right.
Hard to
yeah, actually,
know.
I live under
you
a rock.
You really live under
Label's
a rock.
Label's also a most uneducated right. Person in pop culture of all time.
Right.
That's meaning, easy. Can I ask you, let's ask Dub the questions. Let's see if he knows.
Wouldn't know. I live
do
under
you know,
a rock.
Where Santa Claus comes, how he comes into a house?
I'm guessing through the back door.
Thank God. Okay.
You guys are so crazy. No.
What's your family background?
No. What's your father chimney. Do?
He has an electric company. Electrical contractor.
Is he a Bala Bus? Like, what
do you guys don't know these things.
Define a Bala Bus.
No, I'm saying, is he doing the daf every morning? Like, what are we talking?
He is somebody, he's actually probably my main role model.
Like, I love that, but I'm
in
saying
general
how?
In life, he wakes up 4:30 every morning for the past 35 years.
Really?
4:30 every
machine.
He's I've never seen someone who's more resilient in their life like
wow.
Him. Like literally resilient. Like
that's impressive.
Like if there was one word to describe him, I would say resilience.
Wow.
4:30 every single morning for 35 years straight, just tries doing what, putting his family first and everything. Like, he's literally my role model. Like,
very
if there's anyone I aspire to be, it's him.
I love
that.
If
he's listening to this pod, Dad, I love you. And,
wow,
you're my
I love
role
that,
model.
By the way. That's awesome. No, good for you.
No, I'm just saying, like,
that's very special.
I'm just saying, like, when sometimes you bump into somebody, you're like, wow, this guy's a solid man. Like,
yeah.
He's
yeah.
Just a good person all around.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
dad,
like so he's just a minds. Solid guy. Like,
yeah, we got to have Stan Warren and what's your father's first name?
Tzvi Harry. Whatever.
Well, and Harry telling me each
Harry
other.
Tell
yeah. Stan and Harry, it's a perfect show.
By the way, that is a great.
Like yeah. Everything
they their
is
own
his family.
Podcast.
Like literally everything is his family. Like
I love it. No, so I was asking. No, my question is how religious and sheltered were you growing up? That's really what I'm asking.
I mean, how do you know that Santa?
Well, I grew up in Lakewood, so in general, I was probably more sheltered than your average kid growing up in the Five Towns or whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Is.
You didn't grow up in American culture as much.
Right. And you
still,
grew up probably way more American than me and way more open-minded than me. But at the same time...
Who's Ken?
Ken?
Yeah.
Barbie's boyfriend?
Okay, so there you go. He didn't know who Barbie's boyfriend was.
Oh, okay.
Is that crazy?
No. So like... getting back to that.
Disaster, by the way. I go on dates when I'm on dates. Like, this, things always come up. Girls are like, it's not possible. Please don't miss. I'll call up Shmuley. I'll be like, am I supposed to know what this is? I'll be like, I guarantee you this is not normal for me. Like, I'll tell the girl, I guarantee you this is not normal. She's like, I promise you it is. So I'm like, yeah, I'll call my buddy.
What is not normal? Sorry.
Like, not to
like
know.
Knowing this specific thing. So
dude, I make you look good. I promise you I make you look good. I literally
I'm talking about American
rock.
Culture, specifically.
American culture.
You think so?
Yeah,
do you know what
definitely.
People,
no, I don't have social media.
You guys don't know anything. Do you know what people leave out for Santa Claus, like in a house, for them to eat?
Presents.
Candies?
Chocolate? You fucking morons. No, cookies and milk. The presents are the shit that
dude,
people
sorry,
give to the kids.
Sorry I didn't grow up Catholic.
You guys.
Literally.
Bro. Yeah.
How many miles did Jesus walk on the river? Like, how the hell am I supposed to know that? Like, I went to Lakewood Yeshiva. Like... where are you picking up these questions Santa Claus?
Bro, I'm fucking dead.
What was Shrek's best friend?
Huh?
Shrek's best friend.
I have no
you know
idea.
Who Shrek is?
I know Shrek.
I know Shrek.
His big green.
His best friend. I don't know, Scooby-Doo?
Donkey.
Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong.
I actually love this. Thank you for making me feel so good.
I'm telling you, I would make you look good. I literally live under a rock. I grew up like the movies we were exposed to was like Pippi Longstocking, like that. Like Pippi Longstocking and Arthur. Like that was, and you got a little older, like Maybe you graduated to like, I'm just trying to think of something.
Oh
like,
my God.
That's amazing.
Like maybe cheaper by the dozen was like the max if we want to like really rebel out. So like yeah, I literally live under a rock.
Bro, when I moved in with Label, I showed him Seinfeld and Family Guy. He didn't know what the hell it was. You know Family Guy, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't know what it was, anything. He didn't know any Seinfeld, nothing. I grew up since I was 6 years old watching this stuff. I was watching Kramer since I was 7 years old.
Yeah. Well, now I guess we have our answer. Look at the difference between us three.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, everybody. Want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor for this episode, Ice Shaker Incorporated. For those of you that have been following Mislabeled, you know that we had Chris Gronkowski on. This is his company. They were on Shark Tank, offered a deal by all five sharks. They have sold over 1 million bottles to date. Kitchen-grade stainless steel, which does not absorb odor like all plastic bottles do. If you are a workout junkie, this product is for you. Third-party tested, will hold ice for 30-plus hours and keep your drink cold. Additionally, this is customizable for all employers for their employees and can make for a great gift for a friend. Turnaround time on custom bottles is 3 to 5 business days. To reach out to them, you can hit them via email, info@iceshaker.com. That's info@iceshaker.com. Or reach them by phone, 817-329-6478. Again, that's 817-329-6478. A customer rep will direct you to the correct sales department. Now back to our episode.
By the way, what are you doing, Pesach? I got to figure out.
I'm not sure. I'm just probably going to be with my family one of the days. I'm not sure which days.
And the other days?
Probably not be by default.
No, I'm saying where? thank you, Dobby. Probably not. I appreciate it. Where are you going to be? What are your options?
I'm not sure. Someone offered me maybe to go to Tulum.
Oh, actually.
There's a program there.
Menachem just called me, actually. Wanted to know what I'm doing.
He's doing
on a chat or something.
He's doing what you would call with like five other guys.
Sri Lanka? He's been talking about Sri Lanka for who knows.
I think Sri Lanka. He's doing it with like five other guys.
All right, we'll see what happens.
I'll probably be home.
Is that what it's going to be?
I think so.
Why? So I was actually...
Definitely for a part of
the apartment, God willing, we're going to get tomorrow is that they asked me if we're going to stay. Aaron asked
me fantastic.
If we're stay through. So I said it depends. I said call your brother and ask him what I'm doing for
we'll stay through the whole thing, like have it for Pesach, the entire month?
No, maybe go. Maybe, I mean, if we're going to be in Miami, Pesach, if we would want the apartment, not just while we're here the next week.
Right, I understand.
If we want it for Pesach as well. Yeah, well, if I'm here. Anyways, Pesach is the 22nd.
I know, I said for the next month.
I'm probably going to be here till the 15th anyways.
Right.
So.
I understand. I got you. I understand.
So I'm saying I want to be here for Pesach potentially.
Right.
It actually makes sense comparatively to anything else right now.
I love how much you're coming around to the whole Miami thing lately.
Me?
It was a fight with us for a couple of years. Yes, like, you know, Miami's not that great. Miami's not that great. I'm like, I love Miami.
The city in the
greatest city. It cures depression. It cures anxiety.
It's one big rehab.
Bro, you walk outside. There's not one thing you can lay your eyes on when you walk outside that doesn't make you smile.
Do you know what he said to me, by the way?
The ocean, the sun. There are other things that are out there.
By the way, I was telling David today, I was walking around, I'm like, bro, this place.
It's crazy.
This was not meant for yeshiva, guys. I'll tell you that much. This place.
There is no shidduch crisis out of Miami Beach, guaranteed.
I've always said this. I don't think I would raise a family in Miami Beach. Maybe in like Boca or like Hollywood, but I don't think I could do it. Like, I know that like there's a desensitization that happens because like an 8 year old that if you grow up in your entire life, you grow up and like you're seeing girls in bikinis, whatever. So then like by the time you're 12 years old, you're not like fazed by it. But in a certain way, I kind of want my 12-year-old to be fazed by it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want him to be so desensitized.
Yeah, of course.
I don't want them to be like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You turn up like me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll be in good hands.
Here's the question, though. My
kids will be hosting him over there running a podcast out in Las Vegas then.
Literally.
Yeah,
but here's my... Just to defend myself on that last thing regarding Miami.
Yeah.
I was never against Miami. We're in Miami. There were 4 years straight when we were here for 5 weekends and Sukkot and Pesach. And my position was on Sukkot and Pesach for 2 years. I was like, we've done Miami during COVID ad nauseum. I'm like,
that's when we chilled also.
Right. Yeah. We chilled during COVID.
I bumped into you guys a bunch of times during COVID.
So I'm just saying, I'm like, for Sukkot and Pesach right now, we're anyways here 5 weekends of the year. We were here so much during COVID.
Right, you're saying, bro, you felt like you were living here.
Bro, put my ass anywhere else right now. Like, I'm just sick. I know the drill. Go. I'm not even going to name certain people. I don't really give a shit that we buy every single year. I don't know if he's going to call me.
Yeah, who cares? It doesn't make a difference.
Whatever, but like, oh, we're going to go here. We're going to do there. We're going to spend, you know, 3 days in this place, 2 days in that. But like, but we do something different.
What happened is, that was we my did position. Try something different. We went to Mexico and last year. And it was the experience was great. There, I will give the experience. It was. I'm not going to complain about being able to go to Mexico.
I got to tell him the best story
but
of all time.
But overall, it's just a pain in the ass to be to not have Jewish infrastructure around Pesach. If you're not on a program, and we didn't do a program, and you're beholden to going to Chabad or going wherever you're going, and they were have a great Chabad down in Playa. But like even so, it's
annoying.
Miami is the
greatest story of all Pesach time. By the way, I wish you were there. I wish I had a video of this. The fact that I don't have a video of this.
Which story?
When we went on the so we went to this is an amazing story. So we went to.
Cozumel.
Cozumel. So Cozumel is like a boat ride away from Playa. Okay, it's like 45 minute boat ride. And went to Cozumel for the day, and we're all like, all right, awesome, we're going to go get these motorcycles that they ride, the mopeds. Yeah,
totally forgot
this. So we all went, and you don't need a license, of course not. The idea of having ever driven one of these motorcycles and like maybe needing to, like
it's
out
like
there.
It's like justice in Israel.
But the idea of needing any sort of training doesn't exist. Anyways, we all get on these things. You have to pay up front, of course. Should we pay for insurance? I'm like... Can these things go 10 miles an hour? What are you paying for fucking insurance?
No, they actually go fast. They do go fast.
Hold on. Let me say the story.
It's beforehand.
Okay, fine. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the point? Nothing's happening. What do we need to pay insurance for? It's like a scam. You know those times when it's like
100%.
It's like trip protection. Yeah, it doesn't help you. I'm like, we're not fucking paying
I never
insurance.
Pay for insurance when I rent the car.
Also, what the fuck is insurance in Cozumel, bro? If they want your money, they're coming for your money. Insurance or no money. Okay, you drive the thing into the water and it's gone, you're paying. I can promise you. Anyways, so... They bring out the things, and we all get on them, and I basically... And if you don't know how to ride these things, they're not like... You have to kind of get used to like what you're doing with them. Anyways, I realized right away that they're very trigger sensitive. Very, very sensitive. If you hit that thing, you're flying. So sure enough, I got on, and I hit it. All of a sudden, I got whiplashed, and I managed to like figure it out, catch myself. So I went over to Warren. I'm like, Warren, I'm telling you, these things are very, very sensitive. If you hit this thing too fast, you're off to the races. You're done.
And I'm not.
And by the way, we're like at an intersection. Warren's like, I got it. And he's like, so I turn around, I go, all of a sudden, he's like, whoa, all of a sudden, I see going right through an intersection with no control, just like literally flying through an intersection. And I promise you, slow motion in my mind, I just see a car coming in, Warren, just literally.
Oh my God.
Or I swear. Okay.
Oh my God.
And he's trying to figure out how to break the thing. Me and four other guys are sitting there looking at him just caroning. And it's very simple.
Oh, my God.
I swear, bro. I'm not kidding. This is literally what happened. Thank God. He's figuring out. He can't figure it out. He slams right into the front, like the middle, like of the wheel, like the right.
Of the the rear wheel,
the
but rear, like.
In the front of the rear wheel, he just crashes straight into it. Fucks up the whole twisters. The whole thing just fucked up.
This is without insurance.
There's no insurance.
The matter of the story
but
is
this
that...
Was within, oh, my God. This was within 30 seconds of us getting the bites and within 5 seconds of me, like, I told him it's sensitive and he, like, I walked away and he was like, okay. Touch the thing, gone. Dead.
No, literally, it's on the corner. It was on a corner that we got them. And on the corner that we got them, like, this is... It's literally, if anyone's watching, there's a... this is the store. We come out... This is the intersection. I did it. All of a sudden, I start skidding. And I'm like, I start skidding everywhere. So I started trying to stop. But the stop and the start of the skid is on the same... It's on the same thing. So you have to like...
Yeah.
You have to,
and it's just, bro.
Bottom line is, I ended up skidding into the back of the car like this.
Oh, my
you
God.
You see the helmets like sideways. It's off.
So at first everything's
by the way, thank God.
So at first everything's on my credit card. So I'm just like in my mind, I'm like, fuck. And then by the way, I say props to me within 5 seconds. And then Shulam, my close friend Shulam.
Oh my God.
Shulam turns around, looks at me, and for a minute, we just look at each other, we just crack the fuck up. Like we just start doubled over in laughter. Like there was like, I'm just like, you know something this just happened? Me and Shulam just dead. Like and it was just an all-time moment. You know, Menachem Greenberg sitting there, he's just like, oh my fucking God.
Oh my God, that is a hysterical.
Meanwhile, Warren calls me up. I'm like, okay, Warren, deal with this realm. Warren calls, like, we all rip over to, like, we go on our merry way. Warren's like, gonna figure it out. Sure enough, Warren calls you, like, label, just come back here for a second. I got to run a bill through this just to fix this problem. It cost a few dollars, but we solved the issue.
Did you try someone on another one after that?
Yes,
I
did.
I went straight on another one. It's probably the dumbest idea that I could have done.
No, it was the best idea ever.
I went straight on another one. I conquered the fear, and I was able to 100%. Just do it.
You guys think bravo to my father? My first accident I ever got, and it was 3 weeks after I got my car. I know this is probably very surprising. When I was 17 years old.
Oh, you don't know.
Okay, when I was 17 years old, I made sure to do driver's ed, which I was probably the only person, by the way, in the history of New York City to do driver's ed when I was 15.
Mm.
Okay. I did it because...
You're allowed to?
You know, you're not allowed.
I thought it's 16,
17. You're not allowed. I did it when I was... I'll tell you what happened. You know when schools do driver's ed sometimes? Like the yeshiva, So yeshiva will put together like a driver's ed program. Mm. So I was like insistent when I was like 14 or anything. I'm like, I need to be able to drive. I also went... I was in L.A. for yeshiva when I was 15. And in L.A., you're able to drive when you're 16. You can drive regular in L.A. Okay,
if New York's the only, by the way. New York,
well, Chicago has the same thing. So
17?
When you're 16, Chicago.
16. Every place has it besides New York. Yeah.
So when I was in LA, I skipped a grade, right? I skipped eighth grade. So when I was in LA at 15 years old, all my friends were 16 and they were all driving. So I was already like dead set. I need a car. Like, and I was also not exactly like sitting still at that age. So I was like, I need to be able to go from A to B. Like, I can't be dealing with this shit. Not much has changed since then, by the way. Like, it's all been the same. But long story short, I basically made it a mission for myself that the day I turn 17 years old, I will have four wheels. I don't care what the car looks like. I don't care. I will be able to go May 30th. That's my birthday coming up, whatever. May 30th, whatever that's 17. I think it was, I don't know, 2010 or 11.
May 30th, what are we in?
May 30th, March. April.
Yeah, big 30 coming in a month, less than 2 months. Anyways, May 30th, I'm having a car. So sure enough, I made sure. So the driver's ed, they needed 10 people for the program. So I told the head of the program who wants it because he wants it to make money. And he makes money from the program. I said, listen, I'm 15. Let me do the program. When I turn 16, you just sign off that I did it when I was 16. Well, it worked. He took the bait. And I did it when I was 15. And then I came back, eight, 9 months later when I turned 16, and he signed off for me. 17 comes, fine, I get my car. Sure enough, three weeks later, mamash, I'm driving, quick shortstop, why not? No bother to look in the rear view mirror. Truck.
Yeah, I'm done.
Truck comes.
Thirsty.
Truck is right behind me.
I'm so thirsty.
Truck is truck is right behind me.
Yeah.
Right through the back of this minivan, just like no chance, just total crunch. Two sisters of mine sitting, davening Shemoneh Esrei in the back. Standard procedure.
Wow.
First time, everything was fine, totally
fine. Totaled the car?
Yeah, car was totaled, but I was 17. I'm like, my father's not getting me. He's a good guy, but he ain't getting me another car. Like, this is my mother's minivan.
Right.
She gave it to me, and I'm like, I'm not fucking putting this thing to bed. No way. Like, we're driving this motherfucker till it stops working. So I went, you could ask, I have some good friends from Kew Gardens, I'll tell you. I went and I put a you know those sticky sheets that kind of like, it's like a big sticker basically. That's like, you know, I put it on the back of the car, covered the whole back of the car. And yeah, there was no back of the car really. There was no windows on the back of the car. Like the windows were smashed out, everything. But I just had this thing.
Covered it up. You did some arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts. And I just rolled around with that thing for a solid year. The good part was my parents.
Dude, got you to point A to point B.
Point B base, baby. And the good part was my parents didn't even care about the car because they were never going to be driving it. So I just, getting inspection on it was difficult. I had to pull some strings because you weren't actually allowed to be driving it. So you have to get the updated inspection sticker. So you call the guy from Burp or whatever. You work it out. And I just took that thing to town, just smoked in it. Like, whatever I wanted to do, I just, amazing. Like, I didn't even bother ashing out the window. There was none of that. Like, no effort.
So your mom didn't use the car after that again?
Totally.
So it worked out for you. It worked out great.
Yes. She had to
get your own car.
Right, and she had to get another car, correct? Right.
That reminded me of a story also. The first day that I got my license, classic. I forgot about the story to this day. Really? First day I got my license, I was driving my mom's Subaru. Like, they had a nice Subaru sedan. And I was driving it to the ATM.
His family is the family that they advertised the Subaru to on commercials. Has any Jewish person ever had
a Subaru sedan.
The Subaru Outback got ground control.
No, they got in Lakewood, they got the Toyota Sienna, the Honda Odyssey, and like...
So this was
now
the
you
one
got,
that
now, now for I like think your my dad got a deal. You got like the GV70, you know, like
yeah,
everyone's rolling around in those.
It was yeah, like the only time yeah, the Subaru
Volvo
was actually
also, that Volvo SUV
X90.
Yeah, X90.
Right. So it was the only yeah. time Subaru actually had a decent sedan that didn't look like it was just supposed to be lesbians driving it. And basically, I was driving to the mall to the AT&T store to get the new iPhone. Because I was my first time getting a smartphone. I was 18 years old. I had just worked in at Dora Golding to make my first money of my life, $1,000. I took it straight to go get the new iPhone 4S. And as I'm driving to AT&T, I pull in to a parking lot. And I get the phone. I'm pulling out. Classic me. I'm reversing. But I'm I also got my license late. I got it at 18 because I was in Yeshiva, Milwaukee. As I'm pulling out, I realize I'm too close to the car next to me. But I'm also next to this car. So I was like, you know what? I think I can make it.
Solid
so
soundtrack.
I did. Scratched the entire car. And so I started. And then I was like, I don't know what to do. I started freaking out. And I'm 5 minutes away from my house. So I don't know what to do. And the problem is that there was an older woman who's about 80 years old with hearing aids. And apparently, if you, like, they can't hear well, but certain like high-pitched noises they hear perfectly. So she heard it perfectly and called the cops as I'm driving away.
Oh, my God.
And so it was like a whole
thing. You got to hit and run.
Yeah, so I actually went all the way home.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What happened?
But before I got out of the parking lot, because the person like heard me, she was like this 80-year-old woman just kept on saying, stop, 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 stop. So like she's like, you have to put your note on a car. So I put the note on the car. So she actually saved me from a hit-and-run possibility at 18 years old and like in a mall parking lot. Because I was ready to just book.
I have such a good story. I have such good stories right now, but I'm like hesitating if I should be saying them.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? The one I'm talking about where I got the same phone call. I bounced the accident.
We cannot be saying these stories.
That was a bad one.
I never bounced an accident ever in my life.
Oh, this was a disaster. Some calls you get, you're just like at a loss for words. You're like between a rock and a hard place where someone wants your advice, and you're like, you really fucked yourself. I totally.
So the only thing is there
if I had a choice between really bad options right now, this is what I would tell you to do. Yeah.
There's a certain level of confidence, though, just being your friend for years. When I call you and I'm in a real pickle and a real... like a real, like a shit situation that I know the only people that can get me out are like freaking, you know, the best lawyer in town and Label Wiener. Somehow those are the two people I know that can get me out of it. So I call them up and like, I know those are two people. I don't know why I trust you with it, but
right,
I do.
I
but
pull.
Those are the two people. Like I know that I'm either calling up, you know, somehow I'm either getting, you know, whoever the biggest attorney in New York is, or I'm getting a Label on the phone. Label, what do I do? What do I do? I just crashed.
Well, also, but if you call, the truth is, if I can't fix it, I'll tell you exactly who to go to.
Right,
I'll be like,
correct.
You need to call this attorney right now.
Correct.
Trust me, listen to me. This is the person you call. Fix the problem for me, but do it now. Like, I'll know who, Baruch Hashem, like, I'm being on, like, we spoke about this. Your network is your net worth. Like, Baruch Hashem, I'm very, very blessed.
Right.
Like, really, truly, I have incredible friends. Like, I really, really do. In all areas. Like, I have incredible friends that sleep on the couch next to me, and I have incredible friends that are, like, just whatever. Between all of us. Like, I'll call them, they'll call me. Like, between, like, it's beautiful. It's like a small little community. And between everyone, we all have each other's backs.
Yeah.
And we all know which connect is necessary at which point. And, like, it just works. Sometimes they'll call me and it'll be like...
I just know the Label has the connection. The right connection to go to the right person. Also, remember, there was a time we were in Israel. The first time that I went to Israel, 25 as a person, I thought I lost my passport. Remember that?
I thought I lost my passport.
We ended up finding it. But you had the contact that was possibly that if I needed to, I can go to the consulate.
Yeah,
I can.
This,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, fix,
he had the fix. Bro, if I was there with anyone else, there's no fix. I lost my passport. I'm now in Israel, you know.
Obviously, that was a perfect fix.
Right.
That was an easy fix.
That was an easy fix. But, like, it's only, by the way, an easy fix. But I'm telling you, the only reason it's an easy fix when someone loses their passport in a foreign country was because I was with you. It's not an easy fix. Like, if I'm sitting there, not to bash my friends from Cleveland, but, like, I love you guys, but if I'm sitting there with one of my friends of Rummy and I lose my passport, I'm screwed. Like, I'm now in Israel for the next 3 years. As we are, I lose my passport, I'm next to Label.
I probably would tell you that.
Somehow I'm getting the next LL flight out.
I probably would tell you the analytics of, like, what your odds are of leaving before the next 3 years. You don't know this guy. He would be like, well, If there's a 48% chance that you stay there for four more years, a 21% chance you leave within three. Correct. Like, he would give you like the odds.
He would give me like the standard deviation.
Going talking on. About, yeah, the
but yeah, but thank God when whenever you get in a pickle, that is a strong quality of life.
Tell him how
strong
we doing quality. with the stew. Is this, yeah, are we stewing? Are we not stewing? Where are we holding?
Stewing?
Are you brewing something or you're good? You start off the pod saying, oh, you have to go to the bathroom so bad.
So bad, you're brewing.
Oh, that's even now I'm good.
See, we told you that you would just be rolling. I told you that.
You're rolling. Also, I did not address the cap, which I feel like people are probably like, no one has ever seen me wear a cap.
Right.
You've been used to it now because I've been rolling with it for 4 days.
Right.
But no one has seen me wear a cap. So I think we should just address it. Right. So I lost my yarmulke. That's where this started, which I lose a yarmulke a day for anyone who doesn't know. Like, I always lose my yarmulke. It's pretty bad. Because I take it off. Sometimes, like, I'll be sitting on the couch and just like.
Those are corn ribs. Oh, those are delicious.
Anyways, right the there. Point is, where's this from?
Asiatica.
I gotta go to this place.
Delicious.
They say.
People delicious talk.
Food. I think we should go tonight.
You think so?
Maybe.
I go tried. G7.
I did it right.
Is, they oh, say. Incredible. I didn't go there. Yeah. They say the portions are crazy small, though.
No, I had a great time at G7.
Yeah?
Sorry, I was some friends with the waiter. Shout out. Love you, brother. Thank you.
The portions are actually really, really big. I was joking about it. We love you, G7. Sponsor us.
Exactly. We need money.
We need money. We need beds, too.
I need dinner.
If any bed company wants to sponsor some beds.
Also, if you guys want to put couches, I heard you guys like do like a whole show. Mm-hmm. Be a 24/7 restaurant.
And anyone has an alarm clock company for Warren?
Anyways, guys, I want to say thank you so much for watching. We're going to have to figure out Bezos. By the way, we have some amazing episodes coming. I'm not even... I mean, I think. Especially if things work out as much as they will.
They will.
I mean, we're coming with some big-time heavy hitters. It's the truth. So I think, like, very, very solid episodes, really. It's hard now because when I say big time heavy hitters, people think I'm talking has to be bigger than Vivek, which is
right.
Like it's just a very solid.
We've got some good things coming.
Very, very good things coming. So I want to say thank you to everyone for watching as always. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, DJT, for coming.
Guys,
what's
up? Yeah, DJT, David, Jason.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure. Really, really enjoyed it.
Bro, I love you, man. Yeah. Really.
Thank you. Love you guys too. And this was a really, really fun week. Wow.
It was, right?
Yeah. I had a great time this week. I got a lot of laughs. What?
Coming back next week?
I have Shabbat Brachos next week.
You have Shabbat Brachos.
You go to the first night Shabbat Brachos and then you leave. What are you talking about? How many Shabbat Brachos?
All right, if label says you go to the first night Shabbat Brachos and then you leave.
You think you're going to all the Yubra sister Shabbat
Brachos? Oh, he's not going to all.
No way.
Maybe I will come back.
Am I invited to the Tillman Shabbat Brachos?
Everyone is invited to the wedding Shabbat Brachos. I don't know when this is getting released, but.
I should drop this
clip. I'm in, baby.
All right, guys. Peace and love. On to the next one.